Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of season 3 of Voices from the Grid, where we will be discussing the episode Follow That Cab, and only that episode. Yep, you've got a one episode here. With me today is my co-host, Sasha, the Red Ranger. Say hello, Sasha.
Hello, hello again. It's nice to see you again, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you. And yes, I am Ben Taylor, your host for today, our Black Ranger. And my friends call me Rico, which is why you will never hear anyone call me Rico.
No one calls you that. Nice try.
That's like my one of those people. That's the point. The point is my friends call me Rico, but you will never hear me anyone call me Rico.
Well, it's like in Leverage where that guy was like, I'm the Mako. And they're like, the gefilte fish.
So my thing for season 3 is to do insults aimed at myself in my intros, right?
Oh, why are you doing this?
So I've been watching a lot of British television, and a lot of the comedy in that is self-depreciating. So
I'll stick away from the Jewish shows because those just get worse.
So yes, today we will be discussing Follow That Cab. It is slap bang in the middle of the departure arc for Kimberly. It is the only single episode in the entire departure arc. There's like a three-parter, and then this, and then another three-parter to make up the 10 episodes.
There's no escape. No escape.
So many multi-parters in the season, which I have to give a lot of credit to the writing staff for, because one of the big criticisms about early Power Rangers is there wasn't a whole lot of forethought put into the stories, right? But this season, they actually put a lot of effort into telling a story. Like, Kim got a 10-episode departure arc, and then the Zeo Crystal stuff in the later parts of the season, so...
And, you know, characters actually that we saw at the beginning of the season do kind of show up here and there throughout the season, like Ninjor.
Yeah.
Like, I fully expected, because, like, I didn't remember watching the season, and I think I mentioned this in the real opening for season 3, but, like, I fully expected to just, like, never see Ninjor again.
Yeah.
So it's nice that he becomes a reoccurring character.
Even as the whole arc where he gets kidnapped and things, but that's later. The very first thing I want to say about Follow That Cab is that cat they use.
He's a kitty.
The PC, they call it. The white cat. That is an incredibly well-behaved cat.
That is a cute cat. I mean, what were the instructions? Cat sits. Cat lays down.
Right, but what I mean is, like, if I had a cat and I tried to, like, I need you to stay here while I deliver some lines to that man over there, okay? And that cat would just be like, no, I'm leaving now. Like, it does exactly what you need it to.
No, that's fair. I mean, they do really make sure that animals that are used in TV production are usually, like, well-trained. But, like, kudos to whoever trained a cat. Like, that's hard work. He's a cute kitty.
But again, I'm going to apologize to the listeners. Because there isn't a whole lot to talk about with this episode, but yet there's a lot to talk about in the episode.
Yeah. Right?
The stuff we're going to talk about doesn't necessarily key into what's happening on the screen.
Yep.
Right?
It's kind of all about, like, the various things it sets up.
Because this really sets into motion Kim's departure.
Yep.
Because we get the newspaper with the...
famous gymnastics coach, yeah.
For the Pan Global Games or whatever it's called.
I don't think they even say the word Pan Global Games yet.
They do.
Did they mention? Okay.
Kim says it. She's like, oh, he's in town.
Oh, that's right. He's the coach for the group.
Yeah. But this is what really kind of is, like, we got introduced to Kat before now, but this is really, like, that was like setting up the dominoes, right? This is like poking the first domino to watch the whole thing fall over, right?
I have to go back and rewatch the season instead of like the just this, these episodes.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm probably only gonna watch the episodes I'm assigned because
that's what I usually do. But like I've talked a lot about how much I dislike most of Mighty Morphin.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a lot of effort to suffer through to get to the episode where Kat is first introduced. So for me, this was my first introduction to Kat, and I'm gonna Kat the Kat.
So for the record, just so the audience is in full disclosure, we sometimes record these episodes out of order, and we haven't recorded the Ranger Catastrophe episodes yet, or the friend in the Changing of the Zords episodes yet. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Just need to put that out there because otherwise the listeners may be incredibly confused. Because as far as they're aware, you have been exposed to Kat before.
Well, oops. The illusion has been shattered. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Mike and I have made no qualms about it in previous seasons that we record these out of order.
Well, if you haven't realized it yet, we record these episodes out of order because... You know, there's an individual episodes are a lot easier to schedule than group episodes because people are working, people have responsibilities. So
some people have to work really hard on this thing called a school.
Because I hate myself. Some work full time and go to school because I hate myself. And then go
be part of the plan. So think how hard you're working at school, right? And then take that and add like martial arts training and skydiving and all the other stuff that the Rangers do. Anyway,
look, I remember juggling like 15, you know, like 18, 19 credits of courses in undergrad, right? On top of working two jobs, right? On top of club responsibilities. And I'm just like trying to figure out how the heck did I have time to sleep?
Spoiler alert, you didn't. You were just younger.
No, that's the thing. I did though. I was the one person that went all of college, even to this day, without having to pull an all-nighter. Thank you. I can hear the applause in the back going, wait, this is either really good or she probably failed out of school. I did not fail out of school. Thank you very much.
Meanwhile, back in the world of Power Rangers. So what are your notes for this? Because my notes are just a load of nonsense.
I mean, mine are sort of jumbled, but it's not, my notes aren't quite extensive as they were for Wizard for a Day. Or any of the, like, for single episodes, I don't usually take a lot of notes, but so the first thing is Bulk and Skull get assigned to watch for a dude stealing cars.
Yep.
And there's a dude right behind them in broad daylight stealing a car. And to me, that was funnier than Bulk and Skull not noticing. Yeah. Just like this dude who's like wearing a black trench coat and glasses, right? Who looks really, really...
Like he was just like the t-shirt that says goon, short of being in like Batman 1966, right? Like,
right? Like, he just looks... Like, this is a guy where you see on the street and you call the cops because he just genuinely looks like a burglar. And he's just like, he's got a freaking crowbar! And then he drops it with his bag and Bulk and Skull help him. And I'm like, Bulk, Skull, you did so well. You were doing so well at the last episode I recorded. Like, why are you like this?
I do also want to note the fact that Kim's got to go see this coach, right? Mm-hmm. And she's got the cat with her. And she's like, hey, Ernie, can you look after this cat? When Tommy is sitting across the table from her.
I mean, would you trust Tommy to look after a cat?
I wouldn't trust Tommy to breathe on his own.
Yeah, it was odd that she just like doesn't ask Tommy, but maybe Tommy wasn't planning on sticking around.
And then later, Ernie's like, oh, don't worry, PC's this pretty. He's probably just in the kitchen looking for scraps. I'm like, that's a health code violation.
Health code what now? Last time we recorded, you and I had a conversation. We were doing Wizard for a Day and the economic and governmental structure and societal structures of Angel Grove is insane.
Yeah.
So maybe cats are allowed in the kitchen in Angel Grove.
Maybe that's what leads to people like Kat Mangs and SPD. Who knows?
But also, I have a question, though.
Yeah.
So the cat, seemingly, right, he has to get out. So they're sitting outside the juice bar. Outside the juice bar is now a thing, right?
Because yeah, it specifically has a sign saying Ernie's Outdoor Cafe.
Right. So that means this very, very intelligent animal has to know exactly where the kitchen is to get to it.
I mean, that also indicates it's not the first time he's been there.
That cat's local. It knows. But, you know, then comes the reveal that the cat's not a real cat.
Well, we knew that already. Right.
We knew that already. And it's a girl who's blonde.
Called Cat.
Name is... Well, no. Here she... Rita refers to her specifically as Catherine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Cat the Cat. Brilliant! Brilliant!
I do like the whole spy aspect of Cat the Cat.
No, it's actually really clever. Set up a cute little animal because the Rangers can't resist cute things. And... you know, just have her spy on the Rangers. It's actually like one of the smartest things Rita's done.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to save the question I was about to ask you there for another episode.
Aw.
Yeah. Well, but actually, I'm not going to save it because I think it's hilarious. Do you ever think that, like, later on down the road, that, like, Kat is, like, there as a Power Ranger and like Billy and Tommy are sitting back going, I used to pet her head.
I wondered that literally every time I watched the Catherine episodes. I'm like, she used to be a cat.
Or
they
like,
know she used to be a cat. How are there no residual cat issues?
Or like Kim and Aisha being like, she seen me naked. Like,
yeah, that's less weird.
Yeah.
They're all girls, but more of like, she scratched me that one time. I'm not holding a grudge, but I'm kind of holding a grudge.
I had to clean her litter box.
There it is. That's the ultimate one. But let's talk about Catherine Hillard here, because
yeah.
This is my favorite part. We get this sort of flashback. Of because like Rita calls her a bad girl and that like causes
over and over and over and over and over again,
right? And like, we go
the first
back
time and- first time I thought it was an echo, right? But it's just Rita saying bad girl over and over again.
Are we sure? Because I feel like it sort of morphs into an echo and we just don't realize it.
But when you come back, Rita, you can literally see Rita still saying the words bad girl, bad girl, bad girl.
Okay, Rita's got issues.
Yeah.
But my favorite part is the flashback itself, where we flashback to what I dubbed as totally not Angel Grove High, because, you know, there's a different
it's got, it can't be Angel Grove High. It's got an Australian flag in it.
It's Australian Angel Grove. But no, it's obviously, it's funny because they're reusing the Angel Grove High set, but it's just, it's so funny to me because I called it totally not Angel Grove.
Oh.
It was just too funny. It's Angel, it's Australian Angel Grove.
Another cool piece of foreshadowing or forethought from the creators here, because you see young Catherine in this episode.
Yeah.
So that later on, when she's de-aged for Alien Rangers, you're like, that's the same actress that played her when she was a kid.
So you know.
Yeah. It's a really good little
visual. That is actually really good foreshadowing. Yeah. Very clever. We have some new toys. I mean, vehicles in this episode.
We'll get to the shark cycles.
Okay.
I would like to point out the amazing callback by Alpha. He's like, I'll contact the Rangers. I hope they're not off scuba diving.
Yes.
Because every time he couldn't contact Jason, Trini, and Zach, they were scuba diving.
Yep.
It was such a nice little callback. I was like, yes.
We see what you did there, Alpha. You missed them.
The other thing about the thief is when he breaks into Kimberly's car, I noticed this, he breaks into the car with like a Jimmy bar. But as soon as he's in the car, he just starts the car like he's got the key.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm like, what the heck is he starting the car with?
It's just like, that's not how you hotwire a car. It's not how electrical science works.
There's a very simple explanation.
Yeah.
It's Power Rangers, right. Don't question it.
We've got the catchphrases in now.
So what's funny is that Kimberly actually ends up, so the bad guy gets away with the car and Kimberly like, oh my God, that's my car. And Buckland's girl are like, wait, what? That's your car? And they're like, okay, we have to go in pursuit. And instead of like calling for backup or anything, they just commandeer into your cab and Kimberly joins along for the ride.
Kimberly has a thing for getting stuck in vehicles with Bulk and Skull, right? Because it happens here. It happens back in season two when they're in the aeroplane with her uncle.
Oh, that's right.
Like, this is a thing for Kim. She gets stuck places with Bulk and Skull.
Yeah. And then they get stuck inside a cab turned monster.
Yeah. And again, I have a note here since you mentioned the motorcycles earlier. I never understood what it is with Power Rangers and motorcycles. There are motorcycles in like every season of Power Rangers. Like even like Mystic Force, the main character has a Power Ranger motorcycle.
He even had a real motorcycle before he became a Power Ranger with a motorcycle.
If he had one when he wasn't a Power Ranger, that makes sense, right? Because that's just a thing that people do. But like, why does a magic Power Ranger have a motorbike? And
I also think it's funny they needed motorbikes when they can teleport.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense for like the Lightspeed Rescue Team to have bikes and vehicles, right? And it makes sense for SPD to do that. It makes sense even for Dino Thunder because like there's no teleportation. In Ninja Storm, it made a little less sense. But in Mystic Force, I think they make a thing about how it's the broomsticks that were transported into motorcycles to look cooler and more modern. No.
They have the super magic broomsticks. And then on his own, the Red Ranger has a magic bike.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
And then he has a real motorbike.
Yeah. Anyway.
So the Rangers get these really, really ugly and totally pointless motorbikes.
Called the Shark Cycles.
Okay, yes. Why are they sharks? First question.
Because Zordon makes a point of pointing out that they were made out of the fin of a prehistoric water animal.
That must have been a really big ass fin.
Well, I mean, if you look at like a megalodon or what's the name of that one that's in Jurassic World?
Not my department.
Yeah.
But I get your point.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is like they do this big reveal of all of the motorbikes.
Yeah, except the yellow one.
No, the yellow one is there. There's no pink one.
Oh, okay.
Also,
yes, that's what I meant, because she's in the cab.
But what's also weird is that the motorcycles have different eye designs. Like the blue and the yellow one, and I think something, like two of them have one eye, one set of eyes, the others have a different set of eyes, and it's just very jarring.
Yeah, like one of them's based, like two of them are based on like hammerhead sharks, and I don't know.
I don't know. They just looked weird and ugly, and they were glorified scooters.
They were also I'm pretty sure it's the only time you ever see them.
Yeah, I was going to say, huh? So this is what Zordon does in his spare time instead of like, I don't know,
not being able
to get in the tube.
And then like he gives them, he's like, you're going to need these shark cycles because the only way to stop this monster is to surround him on all sides. Which they never do, but he stops anyway.
Yeah, what was with that? Zordon sometimes gives the bat S-word advice. Like, it's just nuts, and it serves no purpose. Like, you must work together to stop this monster. No, Sherlock. Like, yeah, no kidding, they're going to have to work together. They're Power Rangers. This has been, they work together. That's like a thing that they do.
Yeah.
Like,
thank you, Captain Obvious, right? Like.
Right. It's sort of like, why is Zordon even a thing here? Like, do we even need him anymore?
No.
Right. Like, Alpha's fun. We'll keep Alpha because Alpha's awesome. Yeah. But it's just like, it's just like really ridiculous advice. Like, oh, yes, you're going to surround this monster on all sides. You can't possibly do that in any other way without the motorcycles. They have like something
teleporting
special.
Teleporting into very precise points.
And then they never actually do anything with the cycles. They don't shoot blasters or anything.
No, they just ride them.
Like they could have used their, they could have taken Billy's car.
Taking the rad bug, my dudes.
Right.
It's clearly just so they could sell more toys, right? Like, and then like they summon the Zords, the Shogun Zords, and they do this weird pyramid formation, right? Which is the only time they ever do it in all of season three, right? Because they don't have Kim with them, so they can't form the Megazord. Mm-hmm. They do this weird, like, cheerleading pyramid and just squash it.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we annihilate? I think that's from something.
Yeah, probably.
And
that's kind of the episode, right?
Oh, Bulk and Skull do get Kimberly her car back, and she sort of has an awkward hug with Bulk and then just doesn't hug Skull.
I was going to come back to Bulk and Skull because I've not talked about them at all. But, like, Bulk and Skull are probably what is going to take the majority of conversation on this episode. Because, while, yeah, they don't call for backup or anything, right? They instantly jump into action the moment they know there's a problem. And they grab a vehicle. I can't even think of the appropriate word for it. They
commandeer.
There we go. Commandeer a vehicle. A cab driver's like, you can't just do that, even though they can. and then they're chasing this thing through. Right.
So this is the part that I don't understand. They're junior police force.
Right.
They're not adults.
Right.
So isn't there like a huge liability lawsuit issue of putting teenagers in a police uniform and having them solve crime?
Lieutenant Stone is awful.
I really hate Lieutenant Stone. Like, he's just a terrible police officer.
Wait, just for a moment, right? You say yes. There is a, in our world, there is a liability to having teenage people in a uniform solving crimes, right? But look at some of the stuff they've been asked to do in this season, right? They were asked specifically to work security duty for a major league quarterback as teenagers. They were asked to track down a car thief as teenagers, right? Like,
the more I think about, the more dystopian the economy of Angel Grove becomes.
Yeah. It's completely morally bankrupt.
There's a reason none of the Rangers live in Angel Grove anymore, okay?
Yeah. I mean, I know.
They got out as soon as they could.
They were like, peace! Yeah, it's just Bulk and Skull. I talked in an earlier episode about how Bulk and Skull joining the police force was like they took a step back, right? But with this episode, we see literally their only ever arrest. It's the only arrest they ever make. Every other time they like solve a crime, Lieutenant Stone makes the arrest, right? This is their only ever arrest. And it's really gratifying to see. They don't hesitate to jump into action when Kim's like, that dude just stole my car.
And they're like, oh crap, we screwed up. Let's go get your car.
Right. And when they're inside the monster, they're not freaking out because they're inside a monster. They're freaking out because they're literally getting like thrown around inside the thing, and like there's even a line where like, oh, I'm gonna make everybody inside me travel sick, right?
And it's just pretty like that's like level one evil villain right there. I'm gonna make the people inside my car, my cab's car, sick,
right? But like, I just think that this was another really stellar moment of character from Bulk and Skull. And I know we focus on Bulk and Skull a lot, but yeah. A very nice little bit of continuity is the license plate on the monster and the license plate on the cab are the same.
Makes sense.
Yeah, which is very interesting, considering you may not necessarily have thought about that when, like, using a Sentai suit. You know what I mean?
See, this is where Power Rangers is one of those series that, like, when it does things well, it does things really well, right?
Yeah.
And when it doesn't, then it doesn't. And because, like, you know, there's some filler episodes that you're just cringing, like, why did they write this? I talked earlier about, like, some of the weird dialogue choices this season that I think sort of faded out. But some of the dialogue just didn't quite click in a way that, like this is just, like, it didn't work.
There's quite a bit of that in season 3.
Yeah. It wasn't so much in this episode, but I've seen it in previous ones. And it's just, like, it's weird. And I can't quite, like, maybe there's a new writer who's not, has no idea how teenagers sound. Maybe some of this, I don't know.
Well, at this point, right, we're like 11 episodes of Power Rangers from the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, like, at this point, they're gearing up. They're having to think, like, when they're writing this, they're having to think, like, okay. And I don't know whether it's, like, because I wasn't in the room. I haven't read a whole lot about the behind the scenes stuff, but they have to have in mind at this point that they've got to get to Zeo, right? So I wonder if they're focusing more on the transition to Zeo at this point and just being like, yeah, let's just throw these scripts together as best we can.
That would explain a lot, certainly. Oh, well, but out of, like, the episodes that you and I recorded, Ben, I gotta say, this is the best one. Although there's stuff that I liked in the other ones, looking at this episode as a whole, I think it's, like, if I had to rate it, I would definitely put this episode above the others.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because, like, we cared so much about Rocky's non-existent character development.
Well, I could say the same thing about Kimberly, though.
But this episode isn't about developing Kimberly, right? This is about setting up her exit. This is about continuing the saga with Kat. This is about, like, it's less about Kimberly and her desire to be gymnastic. It's sort of continuing the various plot threads in a filler episode, essentially.
Yeah, like, I can make the joke that, like, of course this episode's best because there's less Rocky in it, right? But, like,
are you just all rocked out?
I think I'm mighty morphed out at this point. Like,
welcome to my world.
It's just, well, I'm pretty sure I was mighty morphed out partway through season 2. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, especially since I came to this as an adult rather than watching them first time when I was a kid, right? It's really hard to look at these episodes for me objectively. They're just bad.
Yep.
And, like, saying that this is better than the other two that we recorded on our own is like saying, well, this pile of excrement is slightly smaller than this pile of excrement. It's still a pile of excrement.
That's fair. And you and I don't have the same nostalgia goggles for some of this that Mike and Brian do.
Yeah.
So,
which is why this is a very interesting pairing and why they probably won't do it very much going
forward. Oh, are you kidding me? We should just, you know, take a slice out of the other Sasha's handbook and just, like, go full and take over.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. We've recorded Fourth Down and Long, Wizard for a Day in this episode together, as just the two of us. And it's while there was less to talk about plot-wise with this one, it is by far the more pivotal episode of the three, because, as you say, it is carrying on these long-running plot threads, whereas the other two were just complete filler.
Back-to-back filler of the exact same thing. Yep.
Yeah, it's weird. Just like, I don't know. Anyway, we have final thoughts.
This episode did a lot of really good setup for things that we will see in the future. And stay tuned for when we get to that.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of good setup that would be missed if it hadn't been done.
Yeah.
So kudos on that part. So, Sasha, where can people find you on that there internet?
So you can find me on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. That is always the best way to reach me. You can check out my Twitter rants on Jewish representation in media over at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. And of course, because I always forget to mention this, you can also find me on txhthockey.com and for my podcast /nerdy-notions. And you can hear all of my lovely rants about how much I hate the X-Men movies.
You aren't alone in that, let's be honest.
But I hate them very well, very eloquently. Uh-huh. What about you, Ben?
You find me on Twitter at Bob T. Goldfish. You can find me playing video games on Twitch at twitch.tv/321_TV with my good friend Jordan and my wife Amy at various times throughout the week. Tune into Twitter for announcements when we are going live. As for this show, you can find Voices from the Grid on Twitter at VFTG_PR. And you can find everything else from my columns about my discoveries of and my thoughts about the Power Rangers seasons and watching them for the first time to the musings from the grid and all the other stuff that we do over at thxthockey.com/VFTG. Say goodbye, Sasha.
Goodbye!
And I'll leave you by saying, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, guys, gals, and online pals, be excellent to each other. And party on gender-specific honorifics. And may the power protect you.